It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is Monday, January 6th, the first podcast, a new decade, a new year, and we're looking forward to what lies ahead, and there is going to be so much. We're going to be covering a lot of that. We're going to kick it off today with an interview with Krista Mayshore and talking about social media and how you can have a powerful reach. She's written a book. I was on her podcast. She's now going to be on mine. That's mine. This is ours. This isn't our thing. Because of all who make this possible. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Again, I already told you we're going to have Krista Mayshore, who is a realtor, an author, a trainer, a coach. She's developed some really good skills at developing, connecting with people, having great success up in Northern California. She sold over 69 houses in her first year. She's a very successful individual, and I'm thinking this would be a purchase market. What better way to get you introduced to how to connect with a good realtor who's doing really, really well? And so we're hoping to pick up some tips and tricks for her on what we can do to be more successful in the real estate community. So excited to have her on. By the way, I want to say a special thank you. We married our daughter off this weekend. A lot of you have commented and said so many nice things. So many text messages came in from many of our faithful listeners, and I really appreciate it. It was a perfect day. When you plan an outdoor wedding in January, this past Saturday, in Texas, you don't know what you're going to get as far as weather. But it was gorgeous. Not a cloud in the sky. Sunshine bright. It was 72 to 75 degrees in that range. A nice gentle breeze blowing. Could not have been more of a perfect day. And so we're past that. Guests are all flying home. Got one more having dinner with one family member tonight. And then back to just my wife and I and kind of get settling in. One daughter off and one to go. So thrilled to have the new family and our son-in-law. And so congratulations to Christina and Luke Kinder. Appreciate them and their new life together. Also, grateful to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. Check out theindustrysyndicate.com. We're one of the leaders. I think we are the first, if not one of the first, out there. We're thrilled to be here and now a part of the Industry Syndicate. So check out industrysyndicate.com and all the other podcasts out there. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. We've got the IMB conference coming up. Be sure to check their website for details, as well as make sure you join the Mortgage Action Alliance. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to be a member of that, so check it out. Become a part of that. Special thank you to the MBA for all that they do to make sure our voice is heard on the Hill and keep our industry healthy and vibrant. Also, a special thank you goes to Black Knight, who has developed an actionable intelligence platform to deliver data that drives growth and reduces costs. Be sure to go to blackknightinc.com. We're working on getting Tyler Sherman scheduled to be our guest. We had him coming up, but we had to rearrange things. Former co-founder of Motivity, which was acquired by Black Knight. We're looking forward to having Tyler on, talk about all the latest things they're doing there with data. Also, Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgages and the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Grateful to Scott Gordon and the team at Open Mortgage for their sponsorship, as well as Finastra, who has the mortgage bot solution, automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity. They got a new release of their product coming out, the mortgage bot product. You need to check that out. Pretty exciting stuff what they've got going on. The two co-ops which we're a part of, the Lenders One co-op as well as the Mortgage Collaborative co-op, both of these co-ops create competitive advantages for lenders and the vendor members. Be sure to check out both of them. We got the winter conferences coming up with both of these, one at the end of February and one at the beginning of March. Go to their websites. If you're not a member, I encourage you to check it out and consider becoming a member. Also, the CMLA, which is the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. Appreciate their sponsorship and our membership with them. Velma, also got to say Velma, they do a great job getting your email marketing campaign sent out. And get a hold of Brent Emler there, as well as Knowledge Coop, Ken Perry, and the folks there. Help do training in such a new and innovative way at Knowledge Coop. And we're thrilled to have VendorSurf, one of our newest sponsors. Looking for new vendors? You can surf them all out. You'll see all the various vendors listed out there. Great company, and we're thrilled to have them as a sponsor, as well as Vidyard, a way of getting your video message communicated. I recommend you communicate more and more in 2020. This decade is going to be, I'll have a lot to do with communicating by video. We're going to hear more about that when Krista is our guest, as well as we say thank you to AI Assist. They're part of the Conversica family. They work a lot at getting decisions made in an automated fashion. Especially very grateful for them. Of course, I've already mentioned Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions each and every week. Rob Van Raphorst had an extended New Year, so we did not get a message from him. So we're going to move right on over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and this week's Macro View of the Markets. I enjoyed this song. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Amesworth Advisors. Bears got bulls running, going out of their minds. Bears got bulls thinking that they're wasting their time. Don't bring rates down. Since the fall of 2009, rates traded in tight ranges with declining high yields. On the close of 2019, the 10-year yield closed at 1.91%, the fourth lowest year-end close since the birth of the USA. Expect the Treasury bears to stay in control while the dollar bearishness persists and the U.S. stocks stay bullish. Look for the 10-year to rise above 2% near-term. Bears tell bulls once more before they get off the floor. Don't bring rates down. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I'll tell you what's wrong before I get off the floor. Don't bring me down.
Yeah. Good job. Gary Cantrobone, Les Parker team up to do that. Great spot. Go back and listen to some of those. I was listening to this over and over again last night. First of all, I enjoyed the music, but there's so much information in there. And we get some people saying, you know, I don't always get it, but I started downloading and reading Les's daily macro view of the markets, and it's very powerful. So anyway, we're thrilled to have the partnership with Les Parker. Be sure to check it out at tmspotlight.com. Joe Farr. We just know you and I aren't going to sing on the radio. We probably could do that. We could, Andy, just pound out some beats and pull it off. But we'll spare our listeners that pain. But anyway, Happy New Year, friend.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, that's his deal. I think he records those like on Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken.
He does,
And so, you know, his was done before the latest issue with Iran kicked in on Friday. Because 10-year's down now. At one point this morning, the 10-year was below 177. And during the day, it's risen back up to about 180. But, you know, still very low rates. And that issue with Iran really caused a flight to safety on Friday. We saw a pretty nice drop in mortgage rates, not near as much as we saw on the 10-year, but and we saw a drop in the Dow. Dow lost 100. I don't remember how much it was. It was a significant drop on Friday. Some of that spilled over into this morning as well, Dave. Stocks opened lower by about 175 points, but now they're sitting down only 33 points. So most of that's been recovered. MBS prices today, you know, just have moved around a little bit as people try to figure out what's going to go on. You know, the concern about our conflict with Iran is going to be a market mover, I think, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly was on Friday, as I mentioned.
It sure was.
Flight to safety, stock market sell-off, bond market rally. Kind of.
The economic data was a bit mixed last week, though.
It was. For the week, it was mixed. We saw really good pending home sales number. Contracts signed to buy previously owned homes in November rose 5.5% from October and were 7.4% higher than same time last year. So, and pending home sales, as you know, is a forward indicator in that that's going to result in sales in the future. That's a good thing. Construction spending was better also.
Mm-hmm.
So the housing market data was really pretty good. Now, consumer confidence fell a little bit, as did the ISM manufacturing index. So, you know, that's where the mixed data came in. The ISM manufacturing is a pretty significant measure.
Yeah, big one.
The Fed minutes came out. This was the December 11th meeting, but really they didn't reveal any new information, so they weren't a market mover. And like I said, it was all about the conflict with Iran. It finally China wasn't a big part of the market, and even the impeachment proceedings were really not a factor last week. Now, looking at the week ahead, Dave, the big days are going to come tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow we've got the ISM Services Index for December. It'll be released at 10, and a small improvement there is expected. And on Friday, it's the December non-farm payrolls data. It'll come out at 8:30 Eastern time. New jobs expected, 160,000. Unemployment rate's expected to stay at its very low rate of 3.5%. There is an expectation that our average hourly earnings are going to increase from a 0.2% increase in the prior month in November to a 0.3% increase. Now, if that were to continue to go up at that rate, it would become a significant event for the Fed. Those events could cause market reaction if there's much of a deviation from what was expected. Now, the main driver of the market this week is likely to be concern over conflict with Iran, whether or not they retaliate in any way, or if there's any sort of escalation in that conflict. It could add to that flight to safety that occurred on Friday, which, would be good for mortgage rates, but maybe not so good for stocks. And it's not the kind of thing that you want to have benefit the market, really.
Right. I mean, it's going to be a volatile time during this particular time. You know how the swings can be based on the latest. So it's important that you're using a great system to be able to monitor this in real time. Now, listeners, I'd like to know what systems you're using out there. We have had a great partnership with MBS Quoteline for a good number of years, where Joe has been, and we're grateful for them providing us access to the data that they have, as well as my good friend Barry Habib and the MBS Highway, and then there's so many others out there. But we want to hear from you what system you're using and why you like it. So we'd love to hear from you and get your feedback on that. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you being here. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Dave.
Looking forward to another decade. We've been doing this for a decade together. Can you believe it? All of us all, as we say here in Texas, all y'all. We've been doing it for a long time. But anyway, it's good to have you here. We're going to take a quick break, go out to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage, as he talks about the science of sales. Scott?
How do you really feel about realtors? Are they your referral source or your business partner? Hey, everyone. Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. It's often said that facts don't have feelings, but behavioral scientists are discovering more and more that the way we feel shapes our reality more than facts. So facts may not have feelings, but for many people, feelings are facts. What does this have to do with realtors? Well, let me ask you. When you think of realtors as referral partners, are you really thinking of them as referral partners or referral sources? This is a very important question to ask yourself. Every action you take toward those relationships will stem from your answer. If you feel that your realtors are sources of referrals, your actions are going to be very different. A source is not a partnership. You're going to invest the minimum amount of time into a source in order to extract the maximum profit. The problem with that is your source is a human being, and they are going to feel and perceive your actions. On the other hand, if you feel that your realtors are your partners, you're going to approach them differently. Partnerships are based on establishing and providing value. There are countless ways to provide value in your relationship, but they mean little if you aren't really feeling it. So, how do you feel about your realtors? Your answer says everything. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Appreciate that, Scott. Especially, that's very timely with having Krista Mayshore as our guest a little bit later in the Hot Topics segment. So, good stuff. How are you forming good relationships with your realtors? Well, we're going to hear from a true social media expert in the Hot Topics segment. Krista Mayshore will be our guest, so stay tuned. Alice Alvey, appreciate you so much. I had to go off to a meeting starting out the year. Hated to do it, but she sent in a recording, so let's get out and listen to Alice Alvey, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training for Union Home Mortgage. And let's hear what she's got this week for the legislative update. Alice?
Thanks, Dave, and Happy New Year, everyone. Well, first of all, I want to give you a few deadlines that you needed to remember right here for January 1st. First on the list was, of course, the VA changes to the funding fee and, of course, how VA is going to be calculating entitlement. Hopefully, you've got all that programmed. All of you loan officers and processors out there are ready to make sure that you get that right, and you've already redisclosed for those borrowers whose closings didn't make it by that December 31st deadline. Also, keep in mind that many counties have adjusted recording fees across the country. You don't want to miss those changes because obviously it causes a change of circumstance and could end up being a few bucks that can add up to a lot of bucks as you're working within those particular areas. So make sure you've got your finger on the pulse for any fee changes that went into effect. And hopefully you're ready for 1098, 1099, and HMDA season as those are fast approaching and actually here now in this first couple of months of the year. Now, I'm looking forward in 2020 on a few key topics for you. First of all is that the CFPB's authority is going to be reviewed by the Supreme Court, and we should hear their opinion on this sometime in the summer as to whether or not they believe the head of the CFPB can be replaced by the president. You know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt out there. A lot of industry groups are trying to talk through and see if the Supreme Court will extend the scope of their comment to really go as far as say and whether or not the CFPB is even constitutional because of its structure, but we'll wait and see as to whether or not they just simply answer the questions that have been proposed or they give us some opinions beyond that. More to come, but a big thing for 2020. The next big thing on 2020's list is the new URLA. I think we finally have a real date. Do not expect an extension because we've already gotten a few on this one. So it will be mandatory by November 1st, which happens to be a Sunday. So think Halloween. I've got to have, by the end of October, a whole new system in place for a new loan application. Loan officers, I think this hits you the hardest because your screen's going to change. It's going to be more dynamic. The same information is essentially there, but you're going to have to change the way you've interviewed a borrower. And if you've done this for, you know, 10, 15 or more years, you've got a lot of habits that might have to change because now your screens have all changed. So that's probably the biggest issue. Hopefully your software provider has kept all of the coding behind that to be minimally disruptive to your systems for all the customizations you may have. We're all still waiting to see what the true end result is on that. But LOs, loan officers, big heads up to you that you want to be ready and be prepared to dedicate some time to this in 2020. Also, we're going to get a new HUD 92900A, the addendum to the 1003 that goes with it. No big change there, just some simple wording adjustments. So don't fret about that one. While I'm on the topic of FHA, they did get another $20 million. This was approved as part of the budget, or I should say appropriations, that was approved in H.R. 1865 that was signed at the end of the year. It doesn't sound like a lot of money in government line item terms. You know, maybe it gets everybody a new computer, but we would sure love to see, as mortgagees, that money go to some infrastructure that we can actually feel. The concern is that money's going to have to go all behind the scenes, and we'll need some more appropriations for years to come before, as lenders, we truly see some true changes in inefficient and new efficiencies with FHA systems. Now, two final things for you to pay attention to. First of all is mastering the tech stack that loan originators use. We have talked technology now for 10 years since the meltdown. Loan officers, companies have all built multiple combinations of various software services to originate loans more effectively, reach more borrowers, have more touch points, have more video. But guess what's happening in 2020? There are going to be a lot of players who become masters at this. We've had a group of people who master this in the industry, and they've been able to become superstars very quickly. This is going to explode. Every loan officer out there is going to be in this game. Every loan officer is going to have the ability to have an A game. So those who are at what they call A today, top players, are going to have to find new ways to even elevate themselves further. This is really going to be ramping up to a whole new level where we watch a lot of loan officers rise up to embrace technology and make a whole new group of masters. Now, that being said, along with that, lenders really need to make sure that they're paying attention to diversity and inclusion. Develop those employee resource groups. There are lots of resources out there. Marcia Davies of Empower for Women, Tony Thompson, founder and CEO of the National Association of Minority Mortgage Bankers, and David and Gary Acosta of the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. All of these folks are resources so that you can grow your company with diversity and inclusion. Leverage those resources. Set up ERGs at your company in 2020. Dave, those are my messages to kick us off for the new year. Back to you.
First of all, Alice, thank you for a great report. But I want to refer you also, she mentioned about the tax fees and trends changing. I want to point out and encourage our listeners to go back and listen to the November 4th, 2019 podcast, where we interviewed Liz Gilchrist Kelly, Director of Research at Ernst Fee Services, a Black Knight company, as well as Jan Dalton Clark, who is head of sales and marketing there. I encourage you to check that podcast out because it talks about it, and the penalties are substantial. We do our best in this podcast to keep you informed of what's coming down the line, folks. So go back and listen to that one. Great, timely information. Alan Pollock is here. Alan, you heard Alice talking about the challenges of the tech stack with the things coming down on the line. So it's good to have you with us, friend. Appreciate you, and happy New Year.
Yes, happy New Year. Great to be here. And
I've got to say that, can you hear me okay? Sorry about
that.
Yeah,
you sound a little bit like, you sound like you're in a shower stall or a little bit, so a little echoey, but that's all right. Yeah, I don't know if it's a microphone you're using or what.
Yeah, I can't say it's on the podcast from the shower.
You could just say you're all wet. I mean, some of the people would give you a bad time, your friends, but we know you know what you're talking about. So anyway, sorry about that. Bad.
Alice did bring that up. I'll read the dates out really quick, but we could always post it. It's on Fannie Mae's website. You have March 9th, where the full functionality integration environment will be available for testing. You've got limited production June 1st, which is scheduled implementation. Aggregators and software partners and lenders can have controlled access. You've got what's called open production on September 1st, which is the redesign IRLA. That's really the earliest effective date. November 1st, all lenders must use the redesigned form, and that also is the time when it completely comes into effect. So thank you, Alice, for bringing that up and the tech topic, because we are going to be talking about that today. So that was a fantastic start. Something kind of funny, David, that I did want to bring up, looking at forecasts for 2020, and, you know, these things sort of come out every once in a while, and you get some really interesting type of forecasts. One of them is that we will be in flying cars, if you remember that one. Another one is that we will effectively be living in a home that you can just turn on the hose and it automatically will clean your house. This one was funny. It was human feet will become just one big toe. That was from the Royal College of Surgeons of England in 1911.
Oh, wow.
And we'll all have our own helicopter. And I'll read you just one more. We'll wear antenna hats and disposable socks. So there's a list. There's about 50 of them. It's at bestlife.com.
Oh, that's hilarious. With the AirPods we have stuck in our heads and our cell phones, maybe that one was probably closer to true. It's just a little bit, not quite as they envisioned, but anyway, it's good.
Definitely.
So what do you see in the new year? What do you got?
Well, you know, what we thought what? We thought that 2019 would be the year of chatbots, mobile engagement, artificial intelligence. Really, you know, what I think 2019 was and where we lead off into 2020 is the acceleration of automation. I think we've talked about it. We've got more engagement by borrowers. We've got more technology for loan officers, but we haven't really completely engaged the back office staff. And that's a broad area and broad topic. So I that's my prediction for 2020. We're going to fine tune our technology operations. We're going to do our 2020 checkup, which I've got a couple points to mention here in a minute. And we're going to reduce our costs and we're going to look to automate, right? Reduce human error and make the experience for loan officers and borrowers and get more referrals. That's what we're going to be focused on in 2020.
Mm.
Two quick things in the news, David. One, this is actually kind of interesting because this is Sagent Lending Technologies. They've entered into an agreement to actually acquire ISGN, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
They have because, you know, they're a big loan servicing technology company. Actually, when I spent some time over at Fiserv, they had acquired some of the servicing business, and it looks like Sagent is really, really trying to enhance their technology. We've talked about them in the past. So anyways, they are going to potentially be acquiring ISGN, which means that they're going to be automating workflows. They're going to integrate more with third-party systems, and they're really going to – it's just a bigger way for them to get an entrance into the mortgage market. So take a look out for that. The other one, this one is great. You know, UWM, we all know who they are. This year, their loan volume exceeded $107 billion, more volume than any other wholesale lender in history, celebrating their fifth consecutive year as a number one wholesale mortgage lender. They more than doubled 2018 production, so this year was $107 billion. $41.5 billion in 2018, and they broke the whole industry record. So here's what's interesting, right? They've done it because of automation, because of technology, because putting power in the hands of their brokers. And if you actually have never seen what UWM does, you know, I've been through their TPO portal a number of times. It is, they've got a lot of great technology in it. It doesn't have to be the best looking technology. It doesn't have to be, you know, have every feature. What it does is it's efficient. And it provides brokers with the tools they need. You want to check it out. I've looked at it. It's a great system to take a look at. And then, you know, David, I want to talk just a little bit today, kind of brief, about the 2020 tech checkup. We won't get through the whole thing today. Probably can spend the next couple episodes on it. But really, what's so important, you need to do a checkup, and you need to understand what is the level of IT maturity in your organization, and are you embracing, sort of the big question you got to ask yourself, are you embracing new technology in an effort to keep your competitive edge, or are you still running on Windows XP? And do you plan in advance for your IT expenditures or adopt as needed? And, you know, if you look at your competitive landscape, if you look at what your initiatives were in 2019 and, you know, how many projects didn't complete, there's a lot of steps that you can look at. And we'll talk about more of those in the next couple podcasts. But really, where, just ask yourself the question, where do you want to be? What is your level of IT maturity as you take on 2020? And remember, it's going to be the year of automated efficiencies to the entire mortgage process.
That's so true. So good. Good job.
Absolutely.
Good report. Appreciate it. I love that.
And congrats to you, David, and your family on the wedding.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a spectacular event. You got some daughters, so your day's coming, my friend. Get ready. Start saving up. You can't save enough money. Don't let them watch and say yes to the dress. That's all I say. Just eliminate that program from your daughter's eyes. You'll save money just there, right there. I want to tell everyone to go back and listen to the interview that we did with Dan Putney on December 16th, transforming the mortgage industry through innovation and technology, delivering better customer experiences. It talks a little bit. We talk about some of that, but good report. I'm looking forward to hearing stuff that you have coming up ahead. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is here. Not only is he a Profit Doctor, but he is a PhD doctor and going for a second one. How many letters can you put behind one man's name? CFP, CPA, CFF, CMB, PhD. What else? Best of all,
that's enough, I think.
Contributor to the podcast, and we're grateful to have you here. What you got, friend?
Thank you, Dave. I'm happy to be here as well. And again, as Alan said, congratulations on your daughter's nuptial. I'm sure that was an amazing event. I had never thought about not watching Remember the Dress? What's the name of the show?
Yeah. Yes to the Dress, I think, is the program. I don't know.
Yes to the Dress. Oh, wow. Never watched it. Good thing. Here's my update for today. First off, today's January the 6th, so you know what that means. We've got accounting people running around like their hair's on fire. We've got W-2s, 1099s, 1098s. We got to get the books closed, got to get the balance sheet ready, got to get the call reports ready, got to get, we're already deep into the audit cycle. The audit will be released by the end of March. So we've already picked our auditor, everything's all set. We are just plowing through. So this is, I believe it'll January, be kind to accounting month. It's a good time to bring accounting.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. It's true, though.
It's true. Bring them donuts. And, you know, be nice to accounting in January. And then sometime in the future when you need a quick expense reimbursement paid, you know, they just might make that happen you. So I just like to remind folks that accountants are people, too. They have feelings, despite the fact that they don't show them.
Yeah, but maybe we should start, you know, there's this website, Blue Lives Matter, you know, Black Lives Matter. Maybe we should Accountant Lives Matter, too. Maybe you could start a whole movement there.
Exactly.
So
right.
Funny.
Yeah. Let's be kind to everybody. So a couple other things to talk about today. One is the focus on cash flow. So we made it to January. We're excited about ending 2019. It's looking like a good year for everybody. But that doesn't mean we can relax. We've got to stay diligent in our cash flow focus. We've got to forecast cash flow. Always be thinking about what's next. And we have to be very, very cautious about April. April is a very dangerous month. April and May in particular, because we typically have lower production months, January, February. And so we're consuming cash because we might even be losing money. Hopefully not. might even be losing money. But that means that when volume ramps up in April, May, mm-hmm. every time we fund a loan, we need cash to fund it because we have to put some of our money into the transaction. Usually there's payroll and all commission expense, all this stuff starts happening. So we got to be really careful about the ramp up. Also, let's have a revenue plan for 2020. It's really good to have a revenue plan. And in this revenue plan, we need to include how to use social media. So that would be, yeah. how do we identify how social media enhances your brand to drive more volume? How can we make that work? And how can we identify social media to enhance consumer direct activity? That is a hot topic. And we want to enhance consumer direct activity because it enhances the consumer's payment and our margin. When you basically don't have the big commission expense, you have a substantially lower commission expense, you give some of the benefit to the customer, some of the benefit stays at the firm, and it works out great for everyone. So lastly, and I teed this up slightly with Dave before the show launched, and that is I always talk about the things that I think are interesting, and I would enjoy hearing from the listeners to talk about the things that you think are interesting. So this Ask the Doctor segment, I'm going to launch, send me an email. You can send it directly to the podcast website to Dave or send it directly to me at andy@mbs-team.com. And we'll start teeing up some of these questions. Some of the questions that you want to know the answer to, Dave actually mentioned about how to pick an auditor. Well, we will cover that, but probably a little bit later because you've already got your auditor picked. You're in the middle of your audit right now, right? But we could talk about big picture things, how to run a business, how to motivate employees, how to increase profit. We can talk about granular things like how to pick an auditor, how to pick an accounts payable system, what's an appropriate policy for employee expense reimbursement. I mean, the list is endless. And I would like to talk about the things that the listeners think are important.
Good.
So look forward to hearing from people about that. And that's it for today, Dave.
Good. Email andy@mbs-team.com. You can text me or get a hold of Paul on our podcast and our LinkedIn. There's so many ways you can reach us. So, Andy Schell, thank you so much. Happy New Year, my friend.
Looking thank you.
Forward
you too,
to
Dave.
An exciting year together and working in this crazy industry called the mortgage lending industry. Folks, we are wrapping up the first segment of the podcast, and now this is where we break it. If you're listening live, just stay right here. We've got Krista Mayshore going to be on here in just a moment. Just want to let you regular listeners that are listening live, just let you know, we do cut it off here, so when you listen to it on a download basis, the hot topic is rebroadcast as a separate podcast. I'm excited to have joining us today on the Hot Topic segment, Krista Mayshore. Krista is a realtor, an author, a trainer, a coach, a mom, well, I should say a wife, a mom, and many wonderful things. And she's a highly successful business person in Northern California. She sold 69 houses in her first year as a realtor and has sold over 100 plus houses every year since. She has an innovative approach that flies in the face of conventional marketing, and that's why we invited her to come on today in the Hot Topics segment. We're going to be talking about how she is using social media, get some tips from her, special Hot Topic. Part of it for me is the video. I'm a big part of video, using video, and how to become an expert in the space. So let's get started with some questions. Krista, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
By the way, I want to give you a big promo on your book you sent to me. It's Sell 100 Plus Houses a Year. Krista Mayshore, it's a great picture of you on the cover. And I love the acknowledgments because you start off by saying, first and foremost, I would like to thank my husband, Steve, and my three children, Jalen, Kaylee, and Casey, for standing by you. I love when a successful person out there acknowledges the family. And I just give you kudos. There's a lot of great information in your book. Hey, loan officers, I would recommend this make a great gift, a New Year's gift to you hand out to the realtors that you're working with. There's a lot of great tips in here. And then, of course, send them a link to this podcast with Krista. So we're looking for Christy, excuse me. Yeah, Krista. Sorry, we called our daughter Christy for a while, so I may slip over into that, having an emotional moment there with my daughter being married off. But anyway, so exciting. Those days will happen for you too, Krista. So let's talk about the first rule of social media marketing for attracting attention. You have obviously done an amazing job of that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Just do it and do it often. Many people you just need to start. Many people are afraid of utilizing video and social media, so they shy away from it. But for real estate agents and lenders and any type of local professional, it's probably the absolute best thing that you can do to start attracting business and stop chasing it.
Yeah, that's good. Attracting, and I love the fact that you talk about video as much as you do. So many people give pushback on that because they go, I look terrible, or I don't feel that I'm as, I mean, your cover of your face, you're very attractive, and you have a great presence about you, and when you do meet you, just, I mean, you do well on it. People are like, oh, of course Krista does well. Take a look at her picture. I mean, you understand why she didn't want to do a lot of video. Look at me. Well, folks, we've been looking at you all along. Everyone has that's doing business with you. We're used to you. Why aren't you? So how do people overcome that, Krista?
It just takes practice, and it's exactly like you said. No one likes doing video, right? They all don't like the way they sound and the way they look. And they feel, you know, self-conscious. And what I tell them is that's how you look and that's how you sound. So you've been looking at yourself for your entire life. It's a matter of getting used to it. And when you utilize video and social media in conjunction with each other, it's just so, so powerful, because what it does is it actually starts to break down barriers between you and your audience. It lets them get to know you, to like you, and to trust you. And it also quickly establishes you as the authority figure. You know, you might be an expert. For example, you're an expert, Dave, and you're doing podcasts. And so people now know that you're actually an expert and you're becoming the authority. The quickest way to get business is to be seen as an authority figure. No one knows you're an expert until they actually start to, you know, see you. I always say, be heard, be seen, be known, right? So the more that you're seen, the more you're heard, the more you're known, the more business you're going to do.
Well, and we should give your podcast a shout out. You have a podcast called Fired Up. You had me on as a guest. I was real honored. And that's why I was so excited to have you on here, because I believe in podcasts. I believe in what it can do. But give us a little insights. If someone were to tune in and listen to your podcast, what are you doing with, what's your motive and so your message?
It's called Fired Up with Krista Mayshore. And my client avatar is real estate agents and lenders. In fact, the book Sell 100 Homes a Year is absolutely geared towards lenders as well, because it's the exact same strategy. So they probably would get great insight and benefit from utilizing it. And the podcast, we interview industry experts in the real estate industry and also a lot in the marketing industry. So much of what I teach, much of what I do is you know, taking old school tactics. Like, we don't teach things like doing door knocking and open houses and cold calling. I'm not saying that those things don't work. I just think there's a much more efficient, effective way to reach the masses. And so we talk about those types of strategies on the podcast and also in the book.
Yeah, page 40, you talk about staying in touch. That's one where most people fail. You got a customer, you're working with a customer, and we just don't do it. And mortgage lenders are terrible at it, generally speaking. Talk about some of the tools that you recommend influencers use to be effective in marketing. What tools do you find most effective?
The number one tool is video and social media. So what I tell everyone is pick a platform. My platform that I utilize YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And but many people do it incorrectly. So what most people will do is they'll post on their business page and they'll post on their personal page. But let's just take it, Facebook, for example. Facebook, only about 3% of people are actually seeing you when you post on your Facebook page, because Facebook wants your money. They're a business, right?
All right.
So you have to actually pay them to market and to reach your community. So it's really crazy utilizing this strategy. We've seen our students go from one of my students just gave me her number. She's selling 130 homes a year, which is a lot, right? This year, she closed out at 286, which is just 20 months after utilizing this strategy. And we've got so many stories like that, because people are reminded when they see you all the time that you're in real estate, that you're a lender. And you can target people, and then you can retarget people. So, for example, if somebody watches a video on interest rates, and they watch the whole thing, you can tell how much they watch. You then can send them, you can target those same people and send them a similar video on interest rates or how to improve you know, your credit score or how to, you know, how to shop for the best interest rate. And so when people continue to look at this stuff, you know that they are thinking about interest rates, right? Probably thinking about buying or selling or refinancing. And it shows you as the expert, and it can work for anybody that's brand new in the business. You don't have to have ever sold a house before or ever done a loan before. But if you can give information and give value and just serve your community by giving as much information about relevant topics in the community and about what's happening in the real estate industry and just, you know, tips and tricks and hacks, before you know it, you start to become the authority figure and they're seeing you as doing business.
That is good. Andy Schell, you're getting your next PhD, crack me up, overachiever that you are, on communications. So let's let you slip in with a few questions with Krista.
Well, hi, Krista. Thanks for being on the show. It's always fascinating to hear how we communicate, different ways in which we communicate, gestures, eye movement, fingers, hands, arms, eyebrows. And so there's all this interaction that, if you're with Dave, he's very expressive, and you can see it. So when you take away that interpersonal connection, or even you take away the phone interaction where there's feedback, so you're doing a one-way delivery of content with voice and sight, what are some of the keys that you look for to hook and then retain so you can deliver the content in a meaningful and memorable way so that drives an action at the end?
Great question.
That's a great question, absolutely great question. So first of all, when you're starting a video, you don't just want to say, hi, I'm Krista with Homes by Krista or Krista Mayshore Coaching, because you've already lost people. You only have 6 seconds to gain someone's attention. So you want to do a hook that's going to bring them towards pleasure and away from pain. That's the first thing. So it's basically saying something that's going to get them interested, right? Make them want to continue watching. So I always start mine off with something like, wow, it's, you know, tax time is coming up, and there's three essential things you need to do to save you thousands of dollars on your taxes, let's just say. And then once you've done that, you've caught their attention, then what you want to do is you want to align with their feelings and say something like, man, I know it can be really, really stressful, you know, during tax time. I understand. I've been an accountant for, you know, X number of years, and I've worked with thousands of people. So you're aligning with their feelings, but then you're also giving them a reason to want to continue to listen to you as the authority figure by saying, hey, I've been doing this for this many years, and I've done thousands of taxes. So now the listener is saying, hey, this person's somebody I want to actually take the advice from because they are the authority figure. And then you give a few tips and tricks, and then you ask them, you know, for a call to action. But one thing that's so important in when you're doing this type of stuff is that you don't just always say, look at me, I'm so great, and you don't want to do that. You want to just give valuable information on your subject matter that's going to educate people and help them. And that the as often that you can do that, the better. And it doesn't have to always just be on your subject matter. It can be about, you know, life hacks or family tricks, just so they can kind of get to see you in a different light as well.
Wow, great answer. Good job.
Yeah, great. Some excellent tips there. Excellent. You know, we were talking about technology. It's appropriate to get Alan in here. Joe, I'll be coming to you after this. On technology, Alan, any questions for Krista?
Thank you for being on the podcast. Great to talk to you and have you and our listeners all collaborate together. So,
thank you, Alan. You too.
You know, yeah, there's so much talk about earlier last year, we were talking about chatbots and AI,
yeah,
and all the different tools and platforms that are out there. I mean, I think all those things are great, but I think it's a science that is different for everybody, right? There's a baseline, but you can't just install it and go. So based on your experience, what would you share with our listeners about leveraging some of those different technologies, and maybe what should you start with, and what's your baseline before you start trying to get fancy? And doing more than what you probably need to do.
Well, everybody needs a good CRM, right? A customer relationship management system. So one of the biggest mistakes I made in my career is I didn't have one for probably about the first 10 or 12 years of being in the business. And so get a really good CRM and use it. I just recently somebody asked me for a referral for a person that does blinds. Well, I just moved into a new house about a year and a half ago, and I could not remember the name of the person that did my blinds. And I loved them. They were great, right? They did a great job. Mm-hmm. But because they weren't keeping in touch with me and they weren't top of mind awareness, I didn't remember who they were or their contact information, so I couldn't give it away. And how many times have all of us done the same thing? We thought that we did a great job with someone. We knew our clients loved us, and then they didn't refinance with us, or they didn't buy with us because we were not top of mind awareness. So getting a good CRM, making sure you utilize it, and I'll go again back to utilizing social media because that's where people are. So, you know, you want them to continue to see you, to be reminded that you're in the industry, and your referrals will just start skyrocketing because people that, you know, forgot that you were doing it are reminded when people ask, and you're constantly showing up where they're at, and people are on social media. The average person spends 51 minutes a day on Facebook. They visit it 17 times. There's 2.23 billion people on Facebook, and that's just Facebook, right? So we have to be showing up where people are looking. So CRM, social media.
I agree.
Good.
Great.
Yeah, is there one CRM that you recommend, or that which ones do you find that are people are using that are most effective? Or maybe it doesn't matter. There's just some rules on using a CRM. How would you answer that?
I use something called RealVolve and FirePoint. We're actually going from RealVolve to FirePoint because it's just a little bit easier to use. But the best CRM is just one that you're actually going to use. And that's what I'll tell
that's
you.
That's so good.
Find one.
That's so good.
Just one you're going to use. And that's kind of the biggest problem people have is they don't use it, right? Or they're intimidated by it. But I just read this article and it was saying that, you know, they say it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert. But just to learn something, they say it takes about 20 hours. So if you commit to doing something for 20 hours, spend anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes a day, they say that you'll be good enough to be able to really understand it. And you have to understand that in the beginning of anything, right? Beginning using social media, the beginning of using video, the beginning of using a CRM, it's difficult. But after 20 hours, you know, it gets easier and easier and easier. So if you just know in the beginning, the first 5-6 hours are going to be hard, take longer, you're going to be frustrated, but you know you've committed to 20 hours, by the end, you know, number one, you're going to stick around to that, learning that new skill, and then it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, so true. Joe, I'm going to come to you in just a minute, but I want to first ask about turning loyal customers into brand advocates. This is something you advocate in your book, something you do and help coach people to do. What are some tips for turning loyal past customers into brand advocates?
Again, keeping top of mind awareness. Have customer appreciation parties. I believe it's 7 times more expensive to gain a new customer than it is to work with an old one or to keep an old one, right? To get them coming back to you. So treat your clients nice. Send them, you know, I send for every anniversary of the home, I send a CMA, I hand deliver it to their house. For every birthday, I send them a card with a lottery ticket in it. I have a casino party every year where I give my past clients prizes and we play casino night and I make tons of food and we know it's catered. You just got to treat them nice. On Thanksgiving, we do a pie night where we give everybody a pie the Tuesday before Thanksgiving and, you know, have great appetizers at a wine bar. And it, you know, it doesn't cost that much. It's like doing something like that. It costs so much more not to do it than it does to, right?
Yeah, because so true.
Inevitably, you pick up clients and they remember you and they feel appreciated and they refer you more. You know, you want people referring you and reselling with you, right? Refer, resell, repeat.
Yep. I like that. Joe?
Well, Krista, as you are aware, you're the subject of the marketing efforts of a lot of people listening to the show right now, you and realtors. And so I'm curious, what would you say is an effective or the more effective way for loan originators to reach out to and to be successful in getting referrals from realtors?
So this is something that I think that I've got students who are lenders as well. Okay. And we teach them this exact same strategy. So what happens is when lenders start educating their clients and they're getting out there and people are seeing them, realtors start going to them. Lenders need to stop thinking as realtors as their only lead source. They need to become their own lead source. They become their own lead source by staying top of mind awareness and positioning themselves as the authority figure in their space, as the expert. The only way you can position yourself as the authority figure to the masses is to be showing up online, to be marketing on social media, to be developing a relationship with realtors via video. There's a a study that was done. It's called a parasocial relationship. And basically what this means is that when people are young, they watch TV, right? When we were young, we were watching TV, and we were programmed to learn that the person on the other side of that television, that they're someone of importance. They're the sort of like a celebrity type. Well, it's exactly what happens when you do video on a consistent basis, and it's very important to hear the word consistent. When you consistently are utilizing video and you're properly distributing it, again, that's huge, making sure it's actually being distributed so people can see it. It is amazing that wherever you go, people start to feel as though they know you. They talk to you. They're, you know, it's incredible how powerful it works. And, you know, I do this nationally now, right? So doing it nationally is so much harder than doing it locally. But when you do it local, you're on a hyper-local basis. You can't go anywhere without people saying, hey, Krista, how's the market? What are interest rates doing? Is now a good time to buy or sell? And people want to know the answers to this question. So what I ask every single agent and lender, what's the first question that people ask you at a party when they know you're in the business? The first question we get asked is, how's the market? Well, it's our job to start telling people, right? And not being afraid of how we look or how we sound, because we're human. That's just how we sound and how we look. But the amount of opportunities that are being missed from lenders, right, attracting agents because they see them doing something different, they want to be a part of it, is unbelievable. So if a lender could properly learn how to utilize video, utilize social media, and start interviewing local agents, start interviewing local, you know, different local activities, local restaurants, things to do, they then become their own lead generating machine because they are showing up again as the expert authority.
So good.
And same thing.
That's excellent.
Great answer. Yeah.
Yeah. So true. The regularity, Joe. I mean, when you were pumping out the newsletters as you did all the time, I mean, you were so well known because of all the regularity putting that out. But then let's talk about creating valuable content. You talk about how important it is to educate and entice mm-hmm. your audience. How do you do that? What are the most effective ways?
You just, you know, you let them know what's happening in their community. And one of the biggest mistakes people make is they just do real estate or just do loans. No, you want to become the mayor of your town. Anything real estate or community related, anything loan related, you want to be the one talking about it. If there's a new subdivision coming, right? A lender can talk about
right.
that just as easily as an agent can. You know, new restaurants that are coming, interview local restaurants. It helps the community. Then the restaurant is happy and they start referring you business and they want to help you out and you become known everywhere. It's just, I have to tell you, I've created two businesses that are seven-figure businesses and both of them, this is the exact strategy that I have utilized. And one, the coaching company is only, you know, 2 years old and we've already, you know, hit seven figures. And this is the exact strategy that I've used to do it.
Well,
and it works for
yeah.
any agent, whether it's a big city, small city. It works for, you know, everyone always says, oh, my area is so, you know, there's so many agents, there's so many lenders. Well, that's that same way everywhere, right? So you have to do something
yeah.
that makes you stand out and be different.
So good. How do you increase visibility? That's one of the biggest challenges most people have. And in doing so, it'll improve their chances for driving sales from social media. But how do you increase the visibility? Is it just posting like crazy? Or is there tricks in and tips that you have in your training, your coaching? We'll talk about that in just a minute, and how you do that.
So most people will just post on their business page or on their personal page.
Right.
You have to actually go through the Ads Manager account, and you have to pay for ads. And then you start targeting certain behaviors. So, for example, you can tell Facebook that I want to, maybe if you know it's in a retirement community, there's something called a special ads category now. So ever since that happened, which has been a few months, it's changed the way that the Facebook algorithm works. So there's ways to kind of overcome that. And one of those ways is to think about what type of property you're selling or what type of client you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for somebody who wants to refinance and start thinking, okay, what stage of life are they in and what type of interest would they have? And you can start targeting interest on Facebook. But when you go into the back end of let's just say, I keep using Facebook for an example because we don't have time to talk about all of the different platforms, but you can, you know, literally target an entire zip code, an entire with a 15-mile radius you can target. And you can choose different objectives. One objective is video views. That means Facebook algorithm is going to be purposely putting your video in front of people who like to watch videos. Another objective is called reach. Reach is where you just say, Facebook, put me in front of everyone so everyone can see me. if you're just posting on your page and your business page, no one is seeing you. The only people that are seeing you are the people that most commonly interact with you. What we want to do is we want everyone else to see us. So that's why you have to actually utilize the Ads Manager account. Then you can also retarget people who are engaging. So you're making sure you're giving them specific content that they like. So for example, you know, I'm going through my menopause. Okay. So if I see something about night flashes or hot flashes, I'm interested, but I'm not interested in, hey, if you're a male 25 year old, you want to get bigger muscles, you know, read this article. Yeah. The more that we can put content in front of people that they actually, that speaks to them, it speaks their language, it says, hey, that's me, the more they're going to want to engage in it. So when you properly utilize Facebook and social media with video and get the right information out to the right people, the more likely you're going to be able to convert, right?
Oh,
and
so good.
Which is really, really important. And you can do that by retargeting.
We've talked about Facebook, but as we wrap this interview up, what I want to talk about just a little bit, the power of Pinterest. We just had a wedding. My daughter planned that all. I think every tip she ever got for anything and everything that was going on, and there were so many little cool little things that she did that the guests thought were so thoughtful, and it was on Pinterest. But what's interesting, since the announcement she's getting married, she's graduated, they see she has a job, guess who's starting to contact her? Future people that want to work with her and sell her a home, sure, and her husband a home. What is there any quick tips or tricks you could give us on that? And then I want to talk about how people can reach you to get signed up for your coaching.
Yeah, Pinterest is great. I mean, one of the things that we tell people to go to Pinterest on is just to kind of, you know, get like color palettes, and you can kind of see, you know, to help you with your branding. Pinterest is amazing. It's not my main platform. I utilize YouTube a lot more, and also Instagram. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, right next to Google.
Right.
So people go to YouTube to do what? To compare and contrast. They go to YouTube to learn how to do something. And so, you know, pick one platform and just use it, but make sure that you're utilizing it correctly. And
your
business
so
will
good.
Just go crazy.
Well, you help people do it correctly. So let's talk about your coaching business just for a moment and how people can connect with you. And if they were to sign up, what does your coaching program look like? Is it do you sign up for a period of time? How do you do your coaching?
Yeah. So we have a 6-month program, a 9-month program, and a 12-month program. The most common program is the 9-month one, but typically when people sign up for that, they usually want to increase to the 12-month one. We have coaching calls directly with me in a group setting 2 times per week, again, depending on which level that you're in. And they also have 5 days a week where they can jump on with one of my support staff, so my support staff can walk them through any issues or problems that they're having in case they get stuck. There's an online portal that brings them through all of the training, so we teach them not only how to do video, but how to feel comfortable on video, how they should talk, what they should say, what they shouldn't say, what's a hook, and how do you get people to want to watch, right? And then we teach them how to properly utilize social media channels, you know, to actually get the video seen. And let me just say one thing really quickly. It's really, really important. People say that they don't have time to do video, and I want to explain how you don't not have the time to do it. From one video, you create one video, then you send it to rev.com to get it transcribed. Then you take that long-form transcription, and you put that long-form transcription on your website, right, then on your blog,
yes.
And on your website.
Yeah.
Then it gets you search engine optimization through Google. You take that video, you put that video on your website. You put that video, run an ad through it on Facebook. You run an ad through it on Instagram. You put that video and put it on YouTube as well. I mean, just from one video, you can get 7 pieces of content. So now you're showing up everywhere, and you're dominating social media. You're dominating the online presence. If you put my name in, Krista Mayshore, you're going to see hundreds of videos that come up. And so many of our students within 2 to 3 months are showing up on the first page of Google in there, you know, right under Realtor.com and Redfin, right? And
so excellent.
And Zillow, because they are utilizing video, and video is ranked higher for search engine optimization than anything else. So the more videos that you create and you start properly doing something that we call video repurposing, and then now you're dominating online. So you're being seen on Google, you're being seen on Facebook, you're being seen on YouTube, and you just keep on being seen. So people are constantly reminded of you, and then they're calling you and they need help to buy a house or to get a loan.
That's outstanding. How can people reach you, Krista? I'm sure they're going to want. And also, we'll put a link, listeners, to her book, Sell 100 Plus Homes a Year, How to Use Engagement Marketing Technology and Lead Generation to Sell That Many Homes a Year and Every Year. I love the book. I've gone through it now twice. I'm highlighting it more and more, some tips I've picked up on it. But how can people reach you?
Yeah, you can go to KristaMashore.com, KristaMashore.com. I also have a challenge called 3 Clients in 30. So 3ClientsIN30.com, and they can do a 15-day challenge with me where we teach them how to utilize video and also some other tips on how to generate more business. Our average client picks up 2 clients in that 15-day challenge. We've had some pick up 6, and that's not an exaggeration.
Wow.
And it works great for lenders. If you're a lender, I highly, highly recommend reading the book because the strategies are exactly the same. And I think you get great value out of it. And I really want to thank you both for having me on here, Dave. It was great. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
You guys are awesome. I appreciate the content in your book. Appreciate the energy in which you communicate. And most important, what you're doing to help people be successful. Krista, wish you the very best in the new year. Looking forward to having you back.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everyone. I appreciate it. Have a great day. And remember, learning is great, but if you don't implement, nothing ever happens. So you got to implement.
Got to implement. And that's the truth. So much fun to have you here. Folks, we've had Krista Mashore on as our special guest during the Hot Topic. Folks, we're going to have Mike Fratantoni. Hopefully Mike's listening to this. You go, I am the guest next week. Mike, want to talk about interest rates? We're going to be talking also with Les Parker about interest rates next year. I'm sure we've got a number of people we're lining up in the new year. Be sure to check out our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Velma Marketing Platform, as well as Knowledge Coop, the training platform, as well as Vidyard, VendorSurf, and AI Assist. Thank you so much, listeners, for being here. Have a great week. And again, Happy New Year, Happy New Decade.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.